Today on Vox Talks Economics, putting a value on biodiversity. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, coming to you from the First Hoffman Center CEPR Recipe Conference at the Geneva Graduate Institute. My name is Tim Phillips. Biodiversity underpins the range of economic activities our planet depends on. Yet the decline of biodiversity has rarely been quantified. Most studies look at single species in isolation. Frederick Nowak of the University of British Columbia argues that this misses the point. Ecosystems depend not only on individual species, but on how they interact. When we met at the conference, he told me about the collapse of bird populations in the US and the surprising knock-on effects that this has on agriculture and pollution. So, Frederick, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Frederick, birds provide what economists in their jargon call ecosystem services. What do we mean by ecosystem services? Why are they important?
So ecosystem services is basically just a fancy word for things that nature does for free to support economic production. Mm-hmm. And in specific case of birds and agriculture, many birds like swallows eat insects. Many of those insects are pests that harm agriculture. And so reducing those pests provide a service for agriculture by reducing the pest pressure.
I imagine it must be millions of birds providing their services. Is the number of those birds declining?
The number is declining. And there was actually a recent science study that said over the last 50 years, we lost 3 billion of those.
Wow.
3 billion birds.
3 billion.
They're not even millions of birds. They were like billions of birds. The numbers are declining rapidly. We lost about 30% of birds over the last 50 years.
Why?
So the biggest contribution to those declines is agriculture. And so we see also that birds in the agricultural landscapes are those that decline the most. We're not 100% certain what causes specific species to decline, but a pattern across continents is that agricultural intensification, so larger fields, more inputs, more pesticides, more fertilizer, large monocultures, is really hard on birds. They lose their habitat, they lose their places to nest, they lose their food, and so they're slowly vanishing from the agricultural landscape.
Recently, we spoke to Sarpata Dasgupta about his pioneering work on how we can value nature, and how that valuation could lead to a better policy to conserve and restore it. When you follow Vox Talks Economics, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to the episode The Economics of Biodiversity from November 2025.
So this is a huge decline in the number of birds, and I imagine it's going to have a big impact on agriculture. We're going to talk more about that. Why do we not hear this being discussed more often?
That's a very good question. And I think the big problem is that because the decline is driven by agricultural intensification, so more inputs into production, the effect of declining birds get masked by the expansion of production through increased inputs. So the question would be how much more what we have seen if the birds wouldn't have declined at the same time. The consequence that we discuss more in the media is then this increased inputs, like increased fertilizer causing groundwater pollution in general. It's like more and more evidence that the excessive use of pesticides causes health problems. And so in a way, part of that is explained by the reduction of birds that would provide those services like pest reduction services naturally, and we replace them with pesticide. And then we complain about the health consequences or the pollution consequences of those substitutes for ecosystem services.
So the birds sort of get left out of the story.
it's hard to make the connection. Like, no one asks, why are we using that much more inputs? It's more like we observe, we do, and then we complain about them.
So to answer the very difficult question of what effect this decline in birds is having on agriculture, you need an economist for that sort of thing. Luckily, you are that economist. You've done an estimation of this effect. Are you estimating the impact from the decline of one species or all birds? How do you manage to do this?
That's a very good question. And so it's something that we don't know. We talk a lot about biodiversity, which means somehow there's the diversity is important. It's important not to have only one species, but many. But we don't know how important it is to have many species. So what we do is we combine those different species into one index.
Uh-huh.
But we allow for different degrees of substitutabilities among birds. In other words, we are asking, is it important to have just like more birds? Or is it also important whether those birds are from different species? And we allow this index to increase in the number of species, but also in the number of just individuals. And then we use different specification of this index to get an insight of how important the diversity actually is, if it's really more important to have different species or just more birds in general.
Why might it be important? In the economist jargon, are they providing different services?
Yeah, I think they do. And so, like, you can think of a very simple example, like a moth that's like an important agricultural pest.
Sure.
And so you have swallows eating the flying insects, but you might have other birds that eat the larvae of the insects. And so in the US, there's a bird that's called bobolink. The traditional name is the armyworm bird, because the armyworm is like an important pest. It's a larvae of one of those moths, and it's specialized in eating those larvae. And so you can imagine that having swallows eating the adults and that other birds eating the larvae is more efficient in reducing the population than if you would just have one of those. So you can think of, in a way, they work together as complements and providing like the most efficient reduction in that pest.
How do you think about this in terms of numbers of birds, agricultural production, and how one influences the other?
So the way I think about it is that there's like a pest that causes damages to agricultural production, and the combination of different species of birds reducing the pest population and thus reducing the pest pressure on agriculture.
And how do you manage to get past the problem, as we've already talked about, that agriculture is affecting the number of birds and birds are affecting the productivity of agriculture, but you only want to model one of those effects?
That was the hardest part of the work. And I think that has hampered really our progress in that field for a long time. Like, we know that biodiversity, or we assume biodiversity is somehow important, but it's really difficult to measure because of exactly that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way we solved this is that we looked at migratory species. And the good thing is most of birds are migratory. In the US, it's like 80% are migratory. And especially those that eat insects are migratory. And that's just because there are no insects in winter.
Sure.
We look at those migratory species, and then we look of what happened to them outside of the US, their migration and where they spent the winter. And then we use shocks to those migration pathways to explain their return or to predict their return to the US. When we use that as a variation in biodiversity, that variation, the increase or reduction in biodiversity, is not caused by the agriculture in the US, but it's caused by something that happened to them during migration.
You need quite a lot of data to do this. It's not the usual economic data. Where do you find it?
It's very data intensive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the data on biodiversity, they're far from perfect, but I think we made a lot of progress. So what we use is to know how many birds are in North America. So the study focus on North America is there's a breeding bird survey. So we have like for 13,000 points, people have counted birds from all species over the last 50 years. So we have like a huge amount of data on birds represented for the US or across the whole landscape. Where we made a lot of progress in recent years is we didn't know exactly where birds migrate and where they spend their winters.
Mm-hmm.
For that, we use eBird data, so ornithologists, like hobby bird watchers, in a way, recording their observations. All these observations or recorded observations are compiled into a platform that's called eBird. And so we know exactly which species migrate when and where, because they're observed along the way. And then people say like, oh, I saw that bird in Miami today, and I saw this bird in Cuba the next day or so. And so we know when the species migrates south, where it gets observed and where it spends its winter. And that really allows us to figure out for each individual species where and when it is during migration. And so this is one part. The last part for the bird side is that since now we know when and where the birds are, we use satellite images to measure the habitat quality in the winter habitat, so outside of North America. So we use satellite images that measure, it's a vegetation index that tells us like if there's a drought, the vegetation becomes less green. If there's deforestation in the Amazon, that affects the habitat, it becomes less green. And so we know the habitat becomes worse. So these are the components to predict biodiversity. And then we mesh that with agricultural census data for different crops. Another new data source, we want to see if the reduction of pests is the main mechanism that links birds to output.
Mm-hmm.
And data on pests are very difficult to get.
Yes.
Fortunately, the US has an aerial survey of forest pest outbreaks. So they go with planes over the whole forest of the US and map the outbreaks of forest pests. And so we could actually see if there are like fewer migratory birds going to specific forests, if the chance of a pest outbreak in that forest is increased. And indeed, we find, especially those pests that are eaten by those birds, are way more abundant when birds are down.
Data collection is amazing.
I agree.
So give me some idea about your estimates, the impact and the decline in the bird population on the productivity of agriculture.
So what we find is that 10% decrease in the bird populations, or like in bird biodiversity, this combined index, leads to about a 1% or 1.5% reduction in agricultural output, and about the same amount of increase in pest outbreaks in forests.
That is big. Is the impact on forests as big as on agriculture?
It's unfortunately difficult to measure. So we measure forest pests.
Yeah.
But the problem is forests, they grow slowly.
Of course.
And so what often happens when you have a pest outbreak and trees die, you harvest them.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have exactly the opposite effect. You have like more pests and the harvest and revenues go up in the short term. But in the long term, of course, the trees are missing.
So the big long term macro news is very bad. The short term news is...
This could be good.
Yeah.
And so we stop basically at forest pests, and we know it's one of the biggest problems for forest trees, like forest pests and kind of the mass die off trees because of pests. But what the long term consequences are, it's up for future work.
So people are skeptical about this, might say, ah, you know, 1.5% on agriculture, that doesn't sound very bad. It sounds bad, but not terrible. Can you put a dollar amount on this?
Yes, so we did a back-of-the-envelope calculation, and when we take the numbers from the science paper from the ornithologist who said, like, birds declined by 30%, that would imply, given our numbers and the numbers on total agricultural revenues in the U.S., would amount to about, like, $6.3 billion per year.
Per year.
U.S. dollars loss in agriculture because of this 30% bird decline. It's in the billions, yeah.
Okay, so you've already alluded to this, but one way to fix this is, if we don't have birds getting rid of the pests, just use more chemicals, more insecticides. This is a bad idea?
Yes. I mean, they work. That's why we're doing it. That's why farmers use them. But there's like more and more evidence really about the harmful consequences for human health, cancer, infant mortality, and so on. And so I think something that we start to realize is that, yes, we can have these like technological substitutes, but they also come at a cost. And it's not only the cost to the farmer, pesticides and other chemical inputs are pretty cheap, but they also come at a cost to society, what economists call externalities. That could affect health, but also water quality, also other ecosystem downstream. And so reducing the amount of pesticides, I think it's a hot political topic. I think the European Union tried to ban some of them because they're of the health concerns. So finding a way to reduce those in an environmentally friendly way might be a really good thing to do. And so the study that we did showed that birds can play a role in that.
Clearly, conservation will play a role in that. We tend to think about conservation in a species-by-species way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the implications of your work is the balance of those species, the diversity of them, is also very important. What does this imply for the way in which we approach conservation if we want to try and solve this problem?
I think we conserve species for many different reasons. We conserve panda bears because we like them. They look cool.
Yeah.
They might not provide many important ecosystem services. Maybe they do, but that's not the main reason we want to conserve them. I think what our studies show is that there are many species that might not be very charismatic. They might not be even be threatened by extinction.
Mm-hmm.
But we still might want to have more of them because they're really efficient in providing ecosystem services. We want to do more conservation within the agricultural landscape because that's where we need the ecosystem services. It's one thing to have a beautiful national park somewhere, but it's another thing to actually get the ecosystem services from there to where we need them. Let's try to conserve more biodiversity, especially those species that are helpful within our working landscape, within the agricultural landscape, within forests, so that they can provide the ecosystem services where they need it.
What could we do? What policies could actually move the needle on this? And also, I suppose, can we get better at just measuring the cost benefit about this? Because that tends to get policymaker attention.
That would be a fascinating research question. I think the problem is we don't know that well what actually causes the specific decline. And
right.
I think knowing what an efficient conservation measure is that increases the amount of species in the agricultural landscape without reducing output seems like a really important question to ask.
It's an important question. There are important answers. We don't have those answers yet.
No, not yet.
But you're the person that's going to be doing some of the research on that.
Yeah.
Good luck with it, Frederick. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
For more on this, see Frederick's paper, The Value of Biodiversity, Evidence from Migratory Birds, authors Frederick Nowak, Dennis Engist and Ashley Larson.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, do trade sanctions work?